Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. Alright, so it's just going to be a video because, I really don't know what to make of anything in terms of how to make these arguments. When you have to explain to people, that we're, biological organisms and our brain is deliberately made to create inside of us sensations that are pleasant and unpleasant, ones that make us go and stop, run away, that it's the exact intention that these sensations not be negatable, like we can just think our way out of it, cheat, just pretend it doesn't matter. They're made to be uneditable. It's just a fact that's the reward and punishment system. I would argue that it's a punishment system and the reward is an absence of punishment. But regardless, that's what nature's using manipulate our behavior and to create what we might call our instinctive impulses, tendencies in behavior that tend in the natural environment to make us survivable. Now, obviously, we've broken all of the natural rules of survival and found all kinds of ways to trance nature ourselves, an ability to survive even pretty poor genetics, through medical technology and whatnot. But you can't change the function, which is the fact is that it's part of the hard wiring of our brain to associate what we perceive, what we sense in the environment, and to associate it, with sensations, and that we have to have the sensations to be able to create those indirect associations. We have to do things, have an unpleasant experience, and then learn not to do those things because they create unpleasant experiences. I mean, it's not much more complicated than that. And you have to really, to have to go through that and explain that these are real events, that human beings are going to experience unpleasant, nasty, repugnant, hostile to comfort experiences. Okay, they're gonna experience pain. Now, what exactly pains them, or what exactly for each individual human is painful, there's some subtle variation. But we all know that certain events will be painful for all human beings. Having a nail driven into your eye. except for unconscious human beings or something, but you know what I mean. Under normal circumstances, there's a ton of universals that can be stated, and they are consistent and reliable and factual. They happen. And the simple truth is that is an event in the universe that arguing it has value, that there's no way you can say it's not value-rich. Whether a sentient organism feels good or feels bad, that's a value-intensive circumstance. And, the simple ought that comes out of that is that, generally speaking, things ought to feel better, period. And that's it. Better is better. There. Is that too logically complicated? Oh, better is better. Oh, feeling better is better. But now if you have to argue this shit, You know, you're just saying, I mean, this is, you know, but on top of all the religious crap for thousands of years, human beings fighting to try to rise above silly voodoo, you know, and you know, praying to idols, and, you know, I mean, I just, you think of all this shit, and then, you know, these modern philosophers are reverting us even dumber. They're dumber than religious dupes. I mean, the fable is even stupider, okay? It's dumber not to recognize pain as a real event in the universe than it is to believe in a sky daddy or something. I mean, even the believers in a sky daddy know that pain sucks. You know, pain be bad. Okay, they can figure that out. I mean, just... You know, so you sit here and you say, gee, is there really, is there anybody to talk to? Is there any point in talking to people? And, you know, so, you know, I was thinking back to, you know, how I was sort of introduced to this problem of conflict. Now, the first conflicts I had obviously would be like with my siblings, my sisters. And I could blame that on them being girls, right? I could just say, well, okay, we can't get along because they're fucking silly girls. Girls are stupid. You know, something like that. And then, you know, and because most of the kids, you know, when I was very young, I'd say that, I mean, somebody either liked you or disliked you, and it just, like, it was like easy to put things in categories, but you really didn't have to worry about like Republican, Democrat, or some kind of political crap. You know, really wasn't an issue. Even rich and poor wasn't all that, you know, wasn't much of a meaningful thing, I could argue, when I was, you know, 10 or 8, 7. All right, but yeah, then by high school, then you start to realize that, you know, I have some friends, and, you know, one of them had like an American flag on the back of their jacket, and it was like, ew, what's that about? You know, and then that converted into a marijuana leaf, you know, and, you know, you'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? I mean, it's you know, it's bad enough that you get profiled because you have long hair, you know, and you're wearing denim. You know, all of a sudden you're a drug addict. But, you know, if you shouldn't be, like, advertising the fact, you know, because it was an illegal drug back then. You know, frankly, you know, cops would raid houses, they'd raid parties, you know, it was dangerous. And you just, it's just, what the fuck are you doing? You're just putting a signpost saying, we're troublemakers, you know, or something like that. So then there was some asshole today who drove by in a car, you know, in a really nice, you know, expensive car, sporty. And, you know, it had the speaker volume all the way up playing some La Cucaracha, you know, Mexican shit. And you're just saying... Now, is this a Trumper who's doing this on purpose to make people hate Mexicans? Or, you know, what? You're almost saying this, who the fuck would be this stupid? I mean, to be this obnoxious. You know, like, you could just imagine somebody doing that in, you know, an American in China or something, or Japan. You're just like, oh, man, you're talking about the ugly American. So, I mean, who are these ugly Mexicans who want people to hate Mexicans? You know, it just encourages it, you know, encourages the profiling, encourages all the negatives. And you know, you're just saying, you know, if this is the world we're going to live in, if you're going to have these people like sabotaging, I guess you could say that the really ignorant, like white racists, you know, are, you know, they make white people look so bad, you know. It's like, oh, were these invented just for the purpose? You know, it's this acting, you know, and they're really just trying to create a race war? Or what exactly is the function? You know, but yeah, everybody just, you know, these cliches are just so bad. And so it's like the trolls on the internet, you know, these people, they pretending to be something, and it, you know, all this, just all this fake news, all this fake crap, you know, just to stir things in ugly and bad ways. And, you know, a decent civilization should be able to survive that, but we don't have a decent civilization, right? I mean, as the upcoming election is demonstrating, there's just absolute giant douche shit sandwich problem. I mean, there's just nothing good happening. So I guess that's part of it. There's just nothing good happening. It's just so, you know. And then some of it's just getting gapped. You know, you get old and you're like, okay. you know, and you're doing exactly what the old people did, you know, when you were young. And they're looking at you like you're some kind of stupid, weird creature. And you're just saying, oh, okay. So that's what it's turned into. You know, because I really, you can't understand anything. you know, it's just, everybody seems so fucking weird. You know, hard to relate to anyone's lifestyle or way of living, or, you know, what they think, what they talk, what they do. Yeah, it's all, you know, unfamiliar territory. So, yeah, so that's sort of the context. Then you're saying, okay, so I'm going to make videos to who? you know, yeah, you know, it's because there's just so many ways to disagree. There's so many things to disqualify your ability to respect who you're talking to, even. There's so many ways for somebody to lose my respect, and they're all finding those and using them and revealing their stupidity. Because, you know, yeah, if it's not one kind of woo or nonsense, it's some other woo or nonsense, and everything's just run on it, and everybody's full of shit, from, you know, frankly. I mean, most of what their brain is processing is crap. And, you know, they don't seem capable of recognizing the real true context of our existence and what it is to be, you know, human and trying to do your best and finding your happiness in a world that is really messy. So anyway, so I'm somewhere lost in that dilemma of, you know, if you can't have a lot, you know, you can't even do the ABC stacking Lego blocks or something. I mean, the failure to be able to communicate even the simplest ideas is so dramatic, and it's just, it's catastrophic to any kind of useful conversation. Yeah, so I'll think about that and then figure out what I'm going to talk about in this video. The nihilism thing just isn't worth it. I mean, it did, look, okay, fine. You want to deny the existence of negative sensations and somehow they're being misinterpreted or falsely created by human beings and they don't really need to exist or some kind of crap like that, and they aren't an impositional fact of being sentient. Yeah, there's some sort of, oh, you're just doing sentience wrong. You're being a feeling creature wrong somehow because you've interpreted the event of being conscious and alive and feeling, and you've interpreted that in a negative way somehow. It's so stupid. No, it's not subject to my interpretation. I didn't make it bad. Evolution made it that way. Yeah, I've already argued it. It just seems, and you know, if people are going to deny the existence of the basic function of being conscious, sentient, feeling, and that being feeling means you're going to feel that repugnant thing. You're going to feel badly. Badly. Just like water is wet, the feeling is going to be bad. All right, should be back. So I end up thinking about fanaticism and, you know, how some arguments, like I can go back through this, there's not a whole lot of transitions in my life, but yes, becoming vegetarian anyway, or not willing to casually be unnecessarily to be unwilling to casually be harmful to animals without any effort at all. So let's just say my first efforts were, I just did the obvious thing. I didn't eat steak and roast beef anymore, you know, the obvious ones. Chicken came a little bit later, and fish, you just sort of said, it's a minor inconvenience. And what did it come out of? It came out of this sense of guilt. And what came before that was just sort of there was never a point where I said, being vegan is wrong. There's just the point where I said they're too faggoty, or, they're too fanatic-y. Because you'd see them, I worked in restaurants, and you'd see them come in and they would, it's like they can't, it's like if there was a little bit of a chicken broth in some sort of soup, some broccoli soup or something, and they used a broth in it or something, it was fanatic. And it was just like, oh, come on, you're just being a shithead. You're being a nuisance. You're just being high maintenance, and you're being, it's just silly. You're not going to save anything. The shit's already made. It's going to go down the sink. All right, whatever's left over, for the restaurant, it's going down the sink. It ain't going anywhere. You're not going to save anything. So you might as well have the animal die for a good reason. So don't be playing this game like you're rescuing something. You're just being a jackass, frankly. That ruined an awful lot of causes, is people's fanaticism. They lose the mission statement, for the show. So I guess I would sort of argue that, these people that are very empathetic about, stray animals, but they're so hostile to this idea that you would put an animal to sleep. And that's what they do. They kind of gracefully exit them, okay, which is kind of a nice thing to do, is to expedite the dying process and not force the animal to suffer unnecessarily. But it's in their head that this is bad. Killing is bad. Something dying is bad. And what they're not recognizing is, no, surgery is worse. Being forced to die a natural death is worse. And especially for an animal, frankly, that's not really invested, heavily in the future. Okay, it doesn't have a bunch of projects to finish, especially after you've already sterilized it. It really doesn't, I got so much to get done. It really doesn't have anything to get done. It doesn't have to clean its house before its kids sell it, and it doesn't have to do this, and it doesn't have, it doesn't have a whole bunch of agenda. So you're just being silly, frankly. And they do it out of this fanaticism, and it's, they're, I'm good, I'm empathetic, I care, I'm sensitive, I'm all these things, but in a sense, I don't know, are you? Wouldn't you be better off, just, again, getting more comfortable with the idea that everything is going to die, and you can't prevent that sad fact, and all that we can do is try to make it is give people the time they have, make that as efficient as possible and as productive and as comfortable as possible, and make the transition to not being here likewise as benign and as hurtful and painful, painless as possible. So, but this, they're fanatics, so they can't, they won't let go of this false premise that they're going to save the world or save something, and it really doesn't work. It's not really what the cause is going to end up doing. It's sort of like a St. Jude thing. I mean, I don't want to harp on stuff like that, but it's a research hospital, and they're just signing people up to be guinea pigs, kids, and exploiting it, frankly. And wouldn't you be better off? This is just a sad fact of life. And wouldn't, in many of these cases, wouldn't you be better off trying to make the last days the kid has as comfortable as possible? Give him whatever, her the some therapy in terms of understanding and appreciating and accepting their fate, and the unfortunate and negative element, rather than resisting or fighting. And so they try to, they brainwash these kids into thinking they're winning a trophy by how well they fight and how much pain and crap they endure, and they'll wear their little suffering badges. I went into cardiac arrest 14 times, and I lost sight and for 3 weeks, and I was all kinds of horrors. And people think they're doing somebody a favor, and it's like, you're not doing anybody any favors. I'm glad I wasn't in that circumstance to be a victim of all that propaganda and being forced to drag something out and pointlessly fight a battle you're going to lose badly. So I could argue that, I got a little taste of it. I didn't, my sister died slowly over years of cancer, and all just the worst kind of, going to Mexico and all kinds of bizarre treatments and all this shit. And I didn't have to, I wasn't living with my family, so I didn't have to see it personally. You don't really need to see that kind of stuff, I guess. I mean, seeing it got to make it a lot worse, but I don't know how it gets any worse than just the recognition that somebody, can't get much closer to you than growing up together. And they're going to be, they're being hideously tortured. And it's all for nothing. I mean, it was just all, just years of really shit, horror, torture. All for not in the case that, she was a religious fanatic, and she even, finally in the end, she even lost that. She even lost that little bit of belief in something, all of that promise. Because, praying and praying and trying to figure out what she did wrong to deserve such a horrible fate, and trying to make up for it and trying to get God not to punish her so badly. she couldn't win any of those battles. So she couldn't see any possibility that her God really was a God, because it just seemed so bad. Infected spines, all kinds, just horrible stuff. God damn. So what? So somebody does this people a favor by hyping all this crap, this fight, and lose. I mean, and the practical fact is all we're doing is hyping people and forcing people and be strong and, blah, 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 and all this bullshit. And for what? So you can die more than once, essentially. take the worst part of life and do it more than once. I mean, you know, there's no logic to it, and it's all out of their own, what, fear? Some sort of defensiveness? You know, they're so invested in selling this stupid product that they want to pretend the defective models, it's like some, I don't know, some CEO of a company. You know, obviously for him, it's his financial future is dependent on him making excuses for, you know, the cars that are catching fire are, you know, that are killing people. And, you know, and people become defensive of this stupid life project because, well, they are invested in it. They, you know, maybe they had kids, and so now they're just feeling guilty, and they're just trying to contrive some excuse to say, you know, right to dyers are faggoty. Yeah. You know, they're just trying to find some way to make the valid and sound arguments go away. Because they're in a, you know, they're feeling defensive. Because the fact is that they can't make any, there's no counter argument to the valid argument, okay, that, you know, your dog doesn't need to live as much as you need your dog to live. And that's the absolute fact. And so, you know, doing your surgery and doing this and doing that and imposing this stuff on your dog isn't doing your dog any good, okay? It might be doing you some good, but it's not doing your dog any good. And you're not doing feral cats any good by spending $1,000 doing surgery on them so you can throw them back on the street to eat garbage. Jeez. All right, should be back. Yeah, keep hitting the wrong button. Anyway, so that just made me think of, you know, I saw a neighbor person bug spraying their entire lawn. So they're just spraying, you know, toxic neurochemicals all over their lawn because they're so fanatic. You know, all bugs are bad. I mean, just, it is kind of funny, just, you know, just this idea that some people think every single bug can bite them or sting them or do something. It's like, what the fuck? It's just so unrealistic. And, you know, I was just thinking about it just because, you know, there was birds in the trees in the front yard here. And, you know, they had little birds. You know, they go out and pick worms up and all this stuff. And you're just saying, yeah, what, you know, now that your lawn is toxic, right? I mean, all the worms on the surface there are probably all going to be full of these, you know, terrible chemicals, and the poor birds are going to be eating them. And, you know, just, I mean, how many animals had a bad day because these people are fanatic about a bug, you know, and just fanatic. It's just silly, the excess. But, you know, you can't really tell them that. You know, that would be unfriendly. You know, so it's just the way things are. I mean, nobody can communicate with anybody. Nothing can be done in any kind of rational way. It's like even water here. Like, the houses all slope the same way, and there's all the yards kind of slope down to the backyard. And so there's this whole idea that the water should be allowed to flow down the hill in between the houses, right? So it's all like really good. The water would all, but nobody wants the water in their backyard, right? So nobody wants to see the water moving down their backyard, you know, with the property line, you know. And it's like, they don't understand that they can't dam it, okay? The water is going there, and all you can do is slow it down. And so all you can do is give it more time to saturate your yard by you blocking the water and forcing more water behind the reservoir that's still going to seep into your yard. And so you're just slowing down how much time it's going to take for that water to seep into your lawn. And it's just, you know, but you can't explain anything. Everybody's an idiot. So even something as simple as you can look right there, see how all those houses are low You know, you can look that way. See the house, the roofs. You can see the roof of that house over there. And you look up that way and you can't see the roof because, you know, the houses are higher. It's downhill. You get it? Downhill. No, it's too complicated. I mean, literally, that conversation is too complicated for this neighborhood. If I went door to door, nobody will understand the argument. I mean, that's how dumb. That's what human beings have become. And, you know, these are people that are, you know, well enough employed to, you know, to have a house and a car and all that crap. And yet they can't understand simple arguments. So anyway, just an observation. Shit. Such. All right, so I was thinking of Thomas Jefferson. I was just thinking how people are getting dumber. You go back a couple thousand years ago to the Greeks having conversations that make, you know, the conversations people are having now just seem so silly and stupid and ignorant. And, you know, at whatever, 22 years old or something, Thomas Jefferson was spending his time contemplating civilization and social contract and the whole formation of a government and a civil society and common law and all of that stuff. And, you know, the implications in the future and all kinds of, you know, just very thoughtful when you think about it and how little thought people apply now. But the downside is that, you know, Jefferson, you know, basically was still building with very crude materials. You know, it's a very imperfect first draft of civilization, I would say the Constitution. You know, and that's just, it's unalterable. It's now just another dogmatic tradition thing, and it cannot be edited. And you can see that in physics, you can see that in so many things where they just can't go back and start over, in a sense, and do it modern, you know, more efficiently, technically more efficient, better. I don't know how else to say it, 3D printed kind of thing. You know, even that hype, you know, more, it's everything's just such hype and bullshit. Anyway, and I was thinking then, you know, I just thought about the fact that, you know, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, I was arguing these subjects about democracy and how, you know, we could really fix our government so easily by just separating, you know, the law enforcement part has to be separate from the lawmaker part. You know, that's the thing. You have to have at least two separate branches of government, and they're not separate. You know, the judiciary now is completely owned by political agenda. It's all political appointees. It has nothing to do with being in any way separate anymore. and clearly the accountability, okay, is complete bullshit. I mean, the people who should be under the highest scrutiny, like the cops, are allowed to be immune and evade responsibility. It's even worse for things like judges. I mean, the last people on earth who should be allowed to maliciously violate your constitutional rights, right? There should be no immunity from a claim that they maliciously railroaded you. I mean, if they actually did it and they're guilty, they should be punished. It's just idiotic not to be subject to that trial. They should be able to prove their innocence pretty easily. I mean, it's a pretty high standard proving maliciousness, so they shouldn't have much to fear. You know, and there's just one key flaw in our whole democracy is the idea of we have representative government, but where it's representing our geography. It represents where we live. It doesn't represent what we believe. So you have, you know, 300 and whatever congressmen, but what's the point? Because they're all elected by the same majorities. The same election basically takes place, and you'll never get the diversity you're supposed to have in the Congress. And so all you get is the special interest and the agenda, and a huge amount of it just ends up being local pork politics, where they just fight to have Air Force bases in their state or in their whatever town, you know. But yeah, the whole system is just broken, because it should be 350 representatives of people in America. And so you should have loonies on the right and loonies on the left, and then a whole bunch of the stuff in between. But it should be, they all should earn votes. They shouldn't be canceling somebody's vote. I mean, I never had a congressman, so I never successfully voted for a congressman. Every person I voted for lost. You're just saying, stealing somebody else's representation isn't an accomplishment. So a democracy that's based on a majority stealing everyone else's representation isn't a representative government. So, you know, there should, you know, I won't explain the whole thing, but I mean, it's really an easy fix. You elect 350 people to serve in the Congress, okay? It's not that complicated. And they all have to get whatever, 100-something thousand votes, and that's what it requires to get in. And you can vote for, everybody has the choice of voting for 300 different people, and you just have ranked voting. So if your guy's already elected, your vote goes to your second choice, or your third choice, or your fourth choice. Not complicated, really. And it ensures that everybody is represented, that every vote is a positive vote, that no votes are stolen or thrown in the garbage. But anyway, so but a simple fix, you can't even defend that as a political argument. I mean, you can't even get it even off the ground as a political argument. Like, this is an important change that you shouldn't be representing. You shouldn't be being represented by where I live is so irrelevant. The thing that's the least important to me is, what town do I live in? What county do I live in? What state do I live in? Who the fuck care? I couldn't care less. It's the most unimportant detail of my life. I was going to write down, this is my life. These are not going to be the important details. This is who I am. Represent me. That's not representing me. The people that live here represent me? No. No, they don't. They're just like me? No, they're not. It's just too silly. All right. Pause, and I'll see if there's anything else. I hit the wrong button again. Anyway, so people are belligerent in their... stupidity? No. It's not quite right. just in this attitude that somehow they're qualified and they're sufficiently informed and they're competent, you know. So you could say it's like belligerently arrogant, but that doesn't quite say it right either. But yes, they're doing it, you know, it's right there in front of them, the fact that, yeah, maybe, okay, they're full of shit. Maybe they really haven't studied enough biology or chemistry or physics to understand the impossibility of the fable they might be believing in. when you think about it, you just say, oh, come on, I mean, 1,000 years ago, people were capable of standing up and saying, gee, you know, there's really no evidence of this God being anything real. So why are we doing this again? Storytelling? I mean, you know, let him grow somebody a new arm. I mean, he showed Moses all kinds of miracles. Why doesn't he show us some? They had the opportunity to be convinced, and you know. But the funny part is right, the Egyptians, you know, the Jews, slaves led out of Egypt. They saw all these miracles, right? The sea parted and all this stuff. So they had real reason to believe, and they still didn't. Right? They wanted to go back to Pharaoh, which is, you know, kind of funny, right? I mean, you know, it does tell you the story can't be very realistic if, you know, people's confidence could be swayed after seeing something like that. Even the apostles, you know, or the disciples of Jesus being traitors to him, how could they have a lack of confidence that he's, you know, has it in with God when they watched him raise the dead? You know, I mean, if these miracles really took place right before their eyes, how could they have a lack of confidence? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. So the story's silly. It's so stupid. You're just saying, look how belligerent people are in clinging to this fable, this little trivial, nonsensical mush. Completely incoherent. Well, maybe there's a hell. Maybe they really didn't mean there's a hell. Maybe, well, you're saved, but you're not saved. Well, yeah, you have to be saved from something, so I guess there is a hell. But, oh, well, maybe, well, I don't know. You know, and other people think heaven is just coming back here to earth and being a potato farmer. And that's the big reward, is you get to live as a potato farmer forever. Gee, I can't wait. Yeah, maybe I can. Anyway, so it's just, the level of confidence people have, and they're just so underqualified, and they're so obviously underqualified. But you're saying, what should qualify somebody? I mean, how, you know, I mean, if somebody still believes in Santa Claus when they're, you know, 56 years old, what the hell? I mean, is there any point? What's the hope for people? And that's all this is, right? That's all this religious crap is. It's all these, you know, you can't even imagine people having all these wars and all this bullshit over fucking Santa Claus stories. Are Santa Claus? Is Santa Claus? I mean, yeah. God damn. Goddamn. I mean, even, you know, so much of our culture and so much of everything is built around this voodoo, this silly ritual, this superstition, it's just, ugh. So, I mean, it's pretty hard evidence that, yeah, there's no point in talking to humans. They're really dumb. They don't do logic and reasoning. It's it's not part of the program. What they do is connive and scheme, and that's about it. All right, so maybe I just call this a video and say, yeah, sorry. Just don't know. You know, there's so much stupidity, and it's on almost every subject, is ruined by so much of this fucking nonsense. I mean, you can't even argue about you can't even talk about what is, you know, until you get rid of all this what isn't crap, all this fucking nonsense that you have to get out of the way first. We shouldn't even have a conversation where we have to argue these archaic premises. I have to convince you first that there's no voodoo. I shouldn't have to do that. You know, and that there's no Smurfs, or, you know, I shouldn't have to do that. Can't we talk about, you know, what we can observe and what we can notice about our existence and the, you know, the goods and the bads of it, and have some kind of rational conversation about, is this the kind of thing we should be pro, or should we just say, you know, no, fool me once, you know, my bad, fool me twice, you know. No, fool me once, you're bad. Fool me twice, my bad. And you know, we're way past time for people to say, come on. I mean, how many times are you going to do this, play out this silly little soap opera? You know, rewriting the same stupid play over and over and just doing it with ducks and then doing it with penguins and then doing it with rhinoceros. You know, just change the animal and tell the same story. Just too stupid. All right. So, yeah. Yeah, so I, you know, just having a down period, I guess. Discouraged, just as, because, you know, every interaction with people lately has just been so unrewarding and dissatisfactory. But whatever. There's no other game to play, so I'm stuck. So I don't think, you know, I'll have to just get over it and do my best to try to simplify the arguments. I don't know. Can it, you know? I just don't know how it could matter. These people just aren't going to be induced to give a shit about facts. Anyway, till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. Yeah, enough.